by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyid al-Musaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahman rahim. As-salatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Habiballah. As-salatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Nurallah. MashaAllah, viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to our early morning program. We begin the program by giving you a blessing of reciting salutations through the Park upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And like every day, we mention that the intention is such that we all, as a result of listening to these blessings, we become habitual in reciting through the park. We learn the blessings, we pass on the blessings on to others, so that other people can benefit from this and that other people can also become habitual in reciting through the park upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Today's blessing, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam reported to have said, "The one who recites salat upon me, his salat reaches me, and I make istighfar for him. And besides this, 10 virtues are written for him." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Your durood, your salat will reach the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam will do astaghfar for you. And also, 10 virtues, 10 good deeds are written in your account. How long does it take to recite durood e pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam? As we said many times ago, please make a habit of reciting salutation durood e pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Who knows that one extra durood e pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and today we have another interesting program for something for us to think about and reflect and look at our rich heritage, look at our people of the past and see how they lived their lives and see how we can benefit from their lives. But before we begin, most definitely, the best way that you can start that day, reading the verses, is the best way that we can start today. And as you are on this program, we're going to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
Wa ma anta illa basharun mithluna wa inna dhunnuka lamina al-kadhibin.
Tum to nahi magar hum jaise aadmi, aur beshak hum tumhe jhoota samajhte hain.
Fa'asqit 'alayna kisfan min as-samaa'i in kunta min as-saadiqeen.
To hum par aasmaan ka koi tukda gira do agar tum sachche ho.
Qala rabbi a'lamu bima ta'malun.
Farmaya, mera rab khoob janta hai jo tumhare kautak yani kartood hain.
فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَخَذَهُمْ عَذَابُ يَوْمِ الظُّلَّةِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ.
تو انہوں نے اسے جھٹلایا تو انہیں شامیانے والے دن کے عذاب نے آ لیا، بے شک وہ بڑے دن کا عذاب تھا.
إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ.
بے شک اس میں ضرور نشانی ہے اور ان میں بہت مسلمان نہ تھے.
وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ.
اور بے شک تمہارا رب ہی عزت والا مہربان ہے.
وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
اور بے شک یہ قرآن رب العالمین کا اتارا ہوا ہے.
نزل به الروح الامین على قلبك لتكون من المنذرین بلسان عربی مبین.
اسے روح الامین لے کر اترا تمہارے دل پر کہ تم ڈر سناؤ روشن عربی زبان میں.
وَإِنَّهُ لَفِي زُبُرِ الْأَوَّلِينَ.
اور بے شک اس کا چرچہ اگلی کتابوں میں ہے.
أَوَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ آيَةٌ غَايَةً أَنْ يَعْلَمَهُ عُلَمَاءُ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ.
اور کیا یہ ان کے لیے نشانی نہ تھی کہ اس نبی کو جانتے ہیں بنی اسرائیل کے عالم.
وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَاهُ عَلَى بَعْضِ الْأَعْجَمِينَ فَقَرَأَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ.
اور اگر ہم اسے کسی غیر عربی شخص پر اتارتے کہ وہ انہیں پڑھ سناتا جب بھی اس پر ایمان نہ لاتے.
كَذَلِكَ سَلَكْنَاهُ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ.
ہم نے یوں ہی جھٹلانا پیرا دیا ہے یعنی پیوست کر دیا ہے مجرموں کے دلوں میں.
لا يؤمنون به حتى يروا العذاب الأليم.
وہ اس پر ایمان نہ لائیں گے یہاں تک کہ دیکھیں دردناک عذاب.
فَيَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ فَيَقُولُوا هَلْ نَحْنُ مُنظَرُونَ.
تو وہ اچانک ان پر آ جائے گا اور انہیں خبر نہ ہوگی تو کہیں گے کیا ہمیں کچھ مہلت ملے گی.
اَفَبِعَذَابِنَا يَسْتَعْجِلُونَ.
تو کیا ہمارے عذاب کی جلدی کرتے ہیں.
اَفَرَأَيْتَ إِن مَتَّعْنَاهُمْ سِنِينَ ثُمَّ جَاءَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُوعَدُونَ.
بھلا دیکھو تو اگر کچھ برس ہم انہیں برتنے دیں پھر آئے ان پر وہ جس کا وہ وعدہ دیے جاتے ہیں.
ما اغنى عنهم ما كانوا يمتعون.
تو کیا کام آئے گا ان کے وہ جو برتتے تھے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ. We keep on saying this and I'll continue to say this, that we need to set aside some time in our daily routines to read the Quran, listen to the Quran, understand the Quran. How many times in a day do you pick up your phone to see the messages that are on there? You know, you'll find out what messages have been sent to you. Not only will you send it on one form, be it, I don't know, WhatsApp, then you'll check your social media page, you check your other pages and see if anybody's sent you any messages, then you'll set your text messages, then you'll set your voice call messages, and you'll check everywhere just to see if anybody is contacting you or anybody sent a message to you. And so you want to check all your messages and you feel uncomfortable when you've not caught up with all your messages. At the end of the day, if you're a very busy person and you've got 200-300 messages, you'll make sure that you try your best to get through all your messages before you go to sleep. So you want to hear what everybody has to say to you, hear what everybody wants to tell you, find out what they want to say. And in most cases, they're just sending you things that other people have sent you anyway. But you still want to go through all of your messages to make sure you're up to date with what people want to tell you. But what about what your Rabb wants to tell you? What about what your Rabb wants you to hear? What about your Creator, what He is instructing you, the book, the guide? The guide to all mankind, that book is there for us. How many times a day do we pick up our phone to check the messages? And how many times a day do we pick up the Quran? Well, it's probably easy to say how many times a week, how many times a month, or maybe how many times a year we pick up the Holy Quran. If I was to say to you, pick up the Quran and read the Quran the same number of times that you pick up your phone and read your message, the amount of time you spend reading your messages or checking your phone on a daily basis, if you were to pick up the Quran and read the Quran, how long would it take you to read the Holy Quran? You could probably get through it in maybe a week. Within 7 days, you've probably read the whole Quran because you spend that much time on here. People spend 2, 3, 4 hours a day checking through messages, checking through posts, checking through social media, checking everything. And yet when it comes to the Quran, it seems like a burden. And because it seems like a burden, that's why here on Madani Channel we say to you, look, you know, we know if there are enough finds it hard, finds it heavy to read the Quran for an hour, read the Quran for half an hour. This is why we say to you, please, just 3 verses. Just 3 verses of the Holy Quran. And if I was to say to you, look, on your social media, all you can do is you can check 3 messages. You can't do anything else. Just 3 messages. How much frustration? Only 3. And that tells us that we have that love for the dunya, love for what people want to tell us, more than we have our love for our Rabb, our love for our Creator, our love for what the message that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to give us. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the people who love Allah and the dependency that they had on Allah, how they were willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and how they put the trust in Allah. Nowadays, we put our trust in this. You know, when I set off today, it said to me, you know, I was putting the coming in, it said to me, oh, you are going to be 20 minutes late because of the traffic. We put everything in this. We trust this is the this thing tells us how to go, where to go, what to do, how to everything. We follow this. And you see those people that are following, when they're following maps online, they end up going in rivers, they end up going down one-way streets, they end up going the wrong direction. You know, because we're following this rather than our own intellect. And in the, when it comes to the dunya, what happens is we follow our own intellect rather than following what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to tell us. So please, viewers on the channel, try and set aside some time. I know everybody that's watching this program will say, I have a very busy schedule. We're very busy. I have kids to look after, pick, drop, work. Yeah, all the. I know we all have busy schedules. But if an emergency arises, then all of a sudden we find time. If an emergency arises, all of a sudden we can close shop. All of a sudden we can leave work. All of a sudden we can do all these things when an emergency arises. If we can do all of these things when an emergency arises, can we not set aside? Again, I'm not asking you to give me an hour. I'm not asking you to give me 2 hours. Yeah, I'm asking you to give me 12 minutes, 7 minutes. Read the Quran. Make a change in your life. You know, they say that when droplets fall on stone, it makes a change in the stone. When the droplets of the Quran fall on our hearts, it'll make a change in our hearts. Let's try and make that change for the betterment inside our hearts. Let's make that change inside our families so that they become acquainted to what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants. Yes, we read the Quran, but read it with translation, read it with commentary, and then inshallah, your heart will open up, your mind will open up, your eyes and ears will open up, and you'll see that this is what your Rabb wants of you. Because unfortunately, we live our whole lives not reading the Quran. Yes, we read the Quran, but understanding the Quran. Read at least a commentary and translation. People spend their whole lives studying the Quran, and yet we can't even read 3 verses. So please, viewers on my channel, please make an intention to read some verses of the Holy Quran. Let's go to the kalam of the day. And then when we come back, we'll give you a parable of someone that loves Allah and how he put his trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. Let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu ala Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Le raza sab chale madine ko main na jaun are خدا نہ کرے جان و دل ہو شوخ رد سب تو مدینے پہنچے تم نہیں چلتے رضا سارا تو سامان گیا میرا دل جھولی بھر میرے داتا میری جھولی بھر دے, اب نہ رکھ بے سرو سامان مدینے والے, اب نہ رکھ بے سرو سامان مدینے والے, پھر تمنا چین, پھر مدینے کا ہے ارمان مدینے والے, پھر مدینے کا ہے ارمان مدینے مدینے والے, حشر میں تم میرے عیبوں کو چھپائے رکھنا, حشر میں تم میرے عیبوں چھپائے رکھنا, ہوں گناہوں پہ پشیماں مدینے والے, ہوں گناہوں پہ پشیماں مدینے والے, میرے آقا میرے سلطان مدینے والے, سگے طیبہ
Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of Majlis, I hope you enjoyed that kalam as much as we did here in the studio. And again, these kalams are there, the naat, they are there to instill the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam in our hearts. And that love can be generated through anything, that has a connection to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, be it the city of Medina, be it anybody, the Ahlul Bayt, be it the events that took place, anything that is related, that has a connection, you know, to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be it the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, when you go around the world and you travel the world and you visit different cities and you get the opportunity to go to the mazar, to the resting places of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you go there, you pay your respect, you give your salam, you do the dua there, and that, the reason it has that connection, and that is the connection to who the connection is to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that person that is the bridge, is the connection for us to love Allah. And today we're talking about those people who had the complete trust in Allah. They loved Allah, they sacrificed their lives for Allah. And maybe when I give you these examples, you'll say they're very extreme. And maybe they are in some cases, that these were extreme lovers. And to attain the level of extreme love is maybe very, very difficult for us. But again, at least we should try and strive to attain some of the love that they had. If you look at the love of the companions, the look at the love that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for Allah azza wa jalla, and we see that how they lived their lives, we should at least try to follow in their footsteps. These are our role models, these are our guides, you know, these pious predecessors, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ultimate role model, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the people that we need to look up to try and follow in these footsteps. And Amir al-Sunnah has written a beautiful book called Ashiq Rasool Ke 130 Aqaitin. Yani ke the stories of the lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 130 stories about them. But written by Sheikh Tariqat Alama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, may Allah azza wa jalla keep his shadow upon us. In page 126 of this, he writes, Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala stated that while I was on my way to Makkah al-Mukarramah for the Hajj along with a caravan, I saw a young man who was traveling on foot without any provisions. I said salam, for which he replied. I then said to him, "O young man, where have you come from?" He replied, "From him, I Allah Azza wa Jalla." When I asked him where he had been going to, he replied, "To him, I'm going to Allah Azza wa Jalla." I asked, "Where are your provisions? You don't have anything with you. Where are your provisions?" He replied, "They are upon his mercy, I, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla." I said to him that you will not be able to make such a long journey without water and other provisions. Do you have anything? He replied, "I took 5 letters as my provisions for the journey at the time of leaving home." I asked him, "What are these 5 letters? He replied, "The saying of Allah." When I asked about the meanings of the letters, he replied, "Qaf means the fulfiller of the needs. Ha means the guide. Ya means the protector. Ayn means the knower. And Sad means the one who is truthful. Therefore, the one whose companion is the fulfiller of the needs, the one whose companion is the guide, the one whose companion is the protector, the one whose companion is the knower, and the one whose companion is truthful, how can he die or be worried? Or why should he carry the burden of provisions and water? Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, Rahmatullahi ta'ala, said that having heard what the Haji said, I presented him my kameez, my shirt, which he refused to accept and said, O Sheikh, remaining without a kameez is better than wearing the shirt of this mortal world, because one will face accountability for using its halal things and torment for using its haram things. Allahu Akbar. He went on to say that when the night fell, he looked towards the sky and he began to make dua emotionally these words. He said, Oh, the one who gets pleased with the obedience of his bondsman and who is not harmed by the sins of his bondsman, bless him with the thing I worship that pleases you, and forgive the thing I sin that does not harm him. When he was putting on the ihram, Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah ta'ala stated, Labbaik. And he, this person, he remained silent. And I said to him that, why have you not said Labbaik? He replied that if I say Labbaik, and he replies that this is neither do I accept your Labbaik, nor will I listen to your kalam, nor will I look towards you. He had this fear inside him that if he says, I'm here, Ya Rab, and my Rab says to him, I don't accept you. And he then left. And he said, I could not see him throughout my way. When I reached Mina, I found him reciting some Arabic couplets. Having recited the couplets, he began to make dua in a beseeching manner. He said, O Allah, people have sacrificed animals and attain your closeness. I have nothing to attain your closeness except for my life. So I'm offering it to you. Please accept it. Having said this, the Haji screamed loudly, fell on the ground, and passed away. Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, Rahmatullah, then stated, suddenly a voice was heard from the ghaib. He is the beloved bondsman of Allah Azza wa Jal, who has been killed by the sword of divine love. He then went on to say that I can then carried out the funeral rites of this fortunate Haji. Allahu Akbar. Views of the channel, what we can understand from this is that when a person falls in love with Allah, he becomes unconcerned about other people. He just ponders over the love of Allah that has been bestowed upon this person. He had such great trust in Allah that he did not take any provisions with him. The state of being unconcerned about others is a devotion to Allah. He didn't care about anything. He wasn't worried about what he had or what he didn't have. And he lived his life in that way that Allah is the one that provides everything. And he had this divine love that he had this, he was carefree from the world and whatever it has. On the judgment day, Allah will say to the people who have worshipped false gods, go to hell along with your false gods. So they will not go to hell because they know that the torment of hell is forever. Allah will then say to his believers in front of the evildoers, if you love me, go to hell. Upon hearing this, believers will get ready to jump into the hellfire. In the meantime, someone who calls out will write the following blessed ayat from beneath Arshi Ilahi. Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayat 165. Translation, and for the believers, no one's love is equal to the love of Allah. Viewers of the channel, the beloved bondsmen, the beloved slaves of Allah, love Allah Azza wa Jal more than anything else. And with regards to this particular ayat, in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, Volume 1, page 264, it is written, the beloved bondsmen of Allah Azza wa Jal love Allah more than all creatures, living and dying, for divine love is the aim of their lives. Allahu Akbar. All of the following acts, such as preferring the will of Allah to every pleasure, instead of sleeping in soft beds, performing sajda in Allah, weeping in remembrance of Allah, being worried for the pleasure of Allah, performing worship in the long winter nights and keeping sawm, fasting in the long summer days, having love and enmity for the sake of Allah, giving someone something and not expecting anything in return for the sake of Allah, being thankful for his blessings, being patient upon distress, having trust in Allah in every circumstance, leaving every matter to Allah Azza wa Jal, being ready all the time to act upon the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, leaving, having no love for anybody else, having love for the beloveds of Allah, hatred for the enemies of Allah, having devotion to the beloveds of Allah, showing true devotion to Allah Azza wa Jal's most beloved Rasul from the bottom of the heart and reciting the book, getting close to the believers of Allah, loving them, having their company for developing further love, and hundreds of acts other than these, as such were evidence and requisites for divine love. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, I just want to pause a moment there and say to you that this tafsir Silatul Jinan is a beautiful tafsir that has been written. And I remember, I think I mentioned this on Madani Channel once, that I went to see a scholar and he said to me that this tafsir Silatul Jinan that's been written by Mufti Qasim of Dawat Islami is a unique translation, a unique commentary. And this scholar, he was quite aged, he said, I've read many, many commentaries of the Quran, many, many translations of the Quran, but I've never read one like this. You know, a lot of the commentaries in his mind were copy and paste, but this one was unique. He said, in his words, that this person's worked very, very hard. So again, please acquire these and read the Quran so that we can understand what our Rabb wants of us. Inshallah, we're going to go to the reminder of the day. Inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue with this topic. Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Three blessed sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam about finding faults in others. You know, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam is the perfect example for us. He is a role model for us. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam is a personality of the best character. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam is a personality whom Muslims look up to. His eating, his teaching, his drinking, his sitting, his standing, each and everything is actually an example for us. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam lived a life and set it as an example for us to follow. So looking at the advices of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, three great advices of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam about finding faults in people, that what sort of a discouraged act it is. Allahu Akbar, the Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, the person who discloses the faults of a Muslim in this world, the person who lets out the secrets, the person who reveals out the hidden faults of a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal that person's faults up to this extent that that person will be humiliated in his own home. Allahu Akbar. Another narration about the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, the one who removes a difficulty from a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall remove a difficulty from him. And the person who conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall conceal that person's faults. Allahu Akbar, help a person, Allah will help you. Remove a difficulty, Allah will remove your difficulties, inshallah. In fact, another wonderful hadith, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, the person who conceals and hides the faults of a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall grant him entry into paradise. Subhanallah azza wa jal. It may sometimes be hard upon our inner self, right? If we have found a fault in someone, we can't, you know, just relax and, you know, sit down. We want to let it out to someone. You know what happened? You know this happened? You know that happened? No. If we just make sabr, what have we got to lose? We just have to lose a bit on the aspect of temporary fun. But what do we get in return? We attain Jannah in return. We attain the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah shall hide our faults. We are, you know, sinners. Imagine if our faults are disclosed on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall hide our faults. We make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us, you know, among those people who have respect on the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the shade of his throne on the day of judgment. These few sacrifices in this life shall turn out to be of great means for us on the day of judgment.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers, I'm telling you, watching Arise and Shine. Today we're talking about the people that have the love of Allah Azza wa Jal in their lives. And before the break, we mentioned an individual that made the Hajj journey. And on the way there, he had no provisions. He had very little with him. And he had the complete trust in Allah, that Allah is the one that provides, that Allah is the one that gives it. And, you know, he made dua in Mina that, Ya Allah, I have nothing. People are sacrificing their animals and I have nothing. Ya Allah, all I have is my life. Please accept this. And Allah Azza wa Jal took his life, and the voice was heard from the unseen that he is a true lover of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's the sword of the love of Allah that took his life. Now, I mentioned earlier on that these stories may seem extreme to you, but even in today, you know, these, you can say it's 1,000 years ago, maybe a long time ago. There are today people that put their utmost trust in Allah. I remember reading about some individuals who decided to make the Hajj journey, and they had no money. They had nothing. And I believe they had enough money to get a ticket to somewhere in Europe. And the rest, they decided that, you know, they will earn money and then they would travel. So wherever they went, they worked maybe in a cafe, maybe in some fields picking fruit, and then they would get enough money for the ticket of the bus or the train or whatever it was and make the next journey. Or in some cases, they would walk. And the three of them, there were three people, and one day they were sitting at a cafe and they were eating. And somebody next to them started to talk to them and started asking them. And he asked them that, what are you doing? Where are you coming from? They said, we're making the intention to perform the Hajj and we don't have any money. But Alhamdulillah, Allah is providing for us. And so what we're doing is as we're going, each step, Allah provides us with work. We are unable to earn some money. And with that money, we have food. And with that money, we're able to travel the next day. And the person, he started looking at the table and he said that, you know, the food that you're eating coffees and pastries and, you know, you're eating a grand meal, not a simple meal that you're eating here. Yeah, you're eating a very grand meal today. And they said that Allah's provided this today. We had, you know, a good day working today. Allah provided us with this food, with this money. So this is why we're eating this. But he said to them that, look, okay, you've had a good day. You've earned some good money today. But why don't you keep it? You know, why don't you just eat enough? You know, you don't have to have an extravagant meal of coffee and these pastries and all these other things. Just eat a simple meal and keep the rest of the money for tomorrow. And the person replied that if we keep the rest of it tomorrow, then Allah has no need to give it. We have trust in Allah. Allah will give us tomorrow. So whatever Allah gives us, we live our life according to that. If Allah gives us a little bit, we'll eat a little bit. If Allah gives us a lot, we'll eat a lot. Allah's decided to give us this amount today. So Allah wants us to eat good today, so we'll eat good today. When Allah doesn't, then we'll eat whatever Allah gives us. And that trust in Allah, that trust in Allah is there. And even today's day, there are people that put their trust in Allah, that believe that a lot of people say that, you know, whatever happens is for the best will, whatever Allah decides is best. But do we really believe? And this is what we need to develop inside ourselves. You know, Allah Azza wa Jalla is the provider. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the creator. Allah Azza wa Jalla put me here. Allah Azza wa Jalla decided that I would be born and I would be brought up and I would be educated and live in the UK. If Allah willed, I could have been born in a desert where there's a famine. I could have been born in a place where there's floods happening. So Allah has given me this. Everything that I have is not through my own personal efforts. And if I put any effort in to get to where I have today, again, that effort, that strength, that intellect, that opportunities, everything has been given by Allah. So if we understand that everything that we have is from Allah, then why don't we put our trust in Allah? Just a simple example of why are you here today? Why are you where you are today? If you are watching this program, wherever you're watching this program from, you have some sort of electronic device in front of you, be it a TV, be it a phone, be it a PC tab, you have something. So you have a certain amount or access to a certain amount of wealth to be able to watch this program. Who give you that? Who give you them opportunities? Who give you the resources to be able to do this? Allah did. And where you are born today, yeah, Allah decided that that is where Allah wants you to be born. So you should be thankful for that. And again, no matter where you are born, even if you are born in a desert, even if you are born in a place that's famine, even if you are born in a place that has floods, even then you should be thankful to Allah because there's always someone that is worse off than you. And put your trust in Allah. Allah, you decided. You decided, Ya Allah, to put me in this place. Ya Allah, you decided to put me in this hardship. Ya Allah, enable me to pass this test. Yeah. These hardships, these phases of our life that are difficult, these, Allah has given us these. So we need to put our trust in Allah and say, Ya Allah, you put this upon me. You know, sometimes we should do the dua, Ya Allah, don't put a test upon me. You know, Ya Allah, you've given me so much and I see people around me that are struggling. Ya Allah, don't test me. But then if Allah tests you, then that is your personal test. And Allah puts tests according to the ones that He loves. The bigger the test, the bigger the love. In the same way that in this dunya, the bigger the exam, the greater the reward. If you do a school exam, you'll get a certain reward. If you do a university degree, you'll get a certain reward. A PhD, a certain reward. So the greater the test, the greater the reward. In the same way that the test that Allah puts upon us, we need to believe that it's a test upon us and put our trust in Allah. That, Ya Allah, you put me in this difficulty. You put me in this situation. Ya Allah, give me the strength to show patience in this difficulty. Give me the strength, Ya Allah, to be patient at this time. Ya Allah, in the same way that you've guided me this way, Ya Allah, guide me out of this. And Allah Azawajal says in the Quran that after every hardship, there is ease. But our job is to show trust at that time, to show patience at that time. It is stated, viewers of the channel, that Sayyidina Zunun Misri Rahmatullah Ta'ala said that once I was strolling through a mountain, and while strolling, I passed through a valley which had many trees, plants, and fruits. I started pondering over the greatness of Allah Azawajal, and in the manner in which He beautifully created all of these things. Suddenly, I heard a voice that moved me to tears and heightened my love. I went after that voice and reached the lower part of the mountain near a cave. The voice was coming from inside the cave. I went inside the cave and I found a worshipper who was extremely weak, but he looked blessed. I heard him saying, "Pure is he who has made the hearts of lovers alive in his court through du'as and made them carefree from the struggles of earning livelihood. Now they only trust in him, and he has chosen them for his love, so now they only wish for him." When he felt my presence, I said, "Assalamu alaikum, O the companion of sorrows and sadness." And he replied, "Wa alaikum assalam. Who told you the address of the person that has been hidden away from the creatures by the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and is heedless of fluency in conversation due to the accountability of his nafs?" I replied that I have come to you due to the curiosity of knowing something about the pious, mysterious saints and the desire to ponder over the hereafter. So he said to me, "O young man, undoubtedly, there are some bondsmen of Allah who have extreme love for Allah Azza wa Jal. And due to them having extremely great love for Allah Azza wa Jal, the souls go around in Alam-e Malakut. And they see the great treasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah makes them observe His beauty. And they see it in a way that the hearts are filled with His love and the souls keep flying to attain His closeness. They are the kings of the world and the hereafter." He then started weeping and he made dua. "O Allah, enable me to perform the deeds like these pious saints, and also join me with them." He then cried loudly and he fell on the ground and then passed away. By Allah Azza wa Jal, these are the attributes of the Allah-fearing people. These are the signs of the pious people. Allahu Akbar. We should also try and develop this divine love inside our hearts. We're going to go to another break. We're going to go to the hadith of the day, inshallah. And then after the hadith, we'll talk a little bit more on this topic. Let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
We know that there are many major sins that we must avoid. There are so many narrations which mention different sins that fall under the category of kabira, major. And in one narration, which is in Sahih al-Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned four sins which fall under this category of major sins. Number one, associating partners with Allah, so committing shirk. Disobeying parents, major sin. Taking the life of someone unlawfully. And swearing a false oath. Now these things are aam, na'udhu billah. People committing shirk and blasphemy, polytheism, especially in this day and age where people listen to songs which contain such lyrics, which equate partners to Allah, which denigrate the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very, very important we save our iman. We do not associate partners with Allah. Secondly, parents are being disobeyed as well. Parents are openly coming, seeking advice regarding their children who are aggressive towards them. Na'udhu billah. It's a major sin, disobeying parents. Then killings. These are also widespread in our communities. Over minute matters, over a dirty look, over a misunderstanding, road rage. It's happening. And swearing false oath. Some people have a habit of swearing an oath on everything. And shaitan, nafs are there. Many people are swearing false oaths. So these are major sins that we must avoid.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, another beautiful reminder there, and I hope that we can benefit from these hadiths and these daily reminders, inshallah. Viewers of my channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and today we're talking about the lovers of Allah and some of the events that took those sayings, how they lived their life. And like I said, you may think that they're extreme, but if we can at least go towards that, putting our trust, putting our love, putting our dependence, removing from our hearts the love of this dunya, removing from our hearts the love of the materialistic things, and instilling in our hearts the desire, the passion to attain the closeness of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, putting in our hearts the desire and passion to attain the closeness, the love of Allah azza wa jal, putting in our desire and passion to get that to that status, and by getting to that status, by committing good deeds and refraining from sins. And this is how the pious of the people of the past attained this. It wasn't something that came overnight. This love for Allah is not something that you just get. It has to be developed, it has to be nurtured, it has to be maintained, it has to be looked after in the same way that a tree, a fruit tree, needs to be nurtured and maintained. And even when it comes to fruit, it still needs to be maintained. Because even when you can say, I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you sincerely mean it. If you say, I love Allah azza wa jalla, and you sincerely mean it, but even at that time, do you think shaitan will back off and think, forget it, I can't come near him now, he's a lover? No, even then shaitan will try. So it's something that we need to constantly maintain, constantly nurture, constantly look after, constantly develop, constantly improve, and constantly feed this love that we have. And again, there are many ways reading the Quran, being close to the people. It is stated that Allah Azza wa Jal once said to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, O Dawood, if you want to love me, listen to this, if you want to love me, dispel the love of the world from your heart, because love for me and the world cannot gather in one heart. O Dawood, whoever loves me, he offers the hajjat at the night for me while people are sleeping. He remembers me in private when heedless people remain heedless of my remembrance. He thanks me for my blessings, whereas those who forget remain heedless of me. Allahu Akbar. Worshipping Allah when people are asleep. Thanking Allah when people don't thank. And remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla when people don't. Having love for the dunya in our hearts and love for Allah in our hearts cannot happen in one heart. And now many of us, forgetting everything else, putting everything else to one side, that the hajjat, the shukr, the remembrance, how many of us can say that we don't have this love for the dunya in our hearts? That we're constantly planning for the future, we're constantly trying to improve ourselves in the dunya, materialistically, having a bigger house, a bigger car, more wealth and all these things, we're all trying to do it. And our hopes are so high that we think that we're going to live for hundreds of years. Our hopes are such that we're going to live for 100 years, but we have no confirmation that we're going to even live a second. Our hopes, our dreams are such that if we say that the average age is 70, is 80, we have a dream that is beyond that. I remember meeting someone recently, he's literally 80 plus. And he said, I've just bought this land and I'm going to build some houses there. I'm going to develop them houses. I'm going to sell them houses. And I'm thinking to myself, why? Why is he doing this? He's 80 plus now. And he's not a poor person. He's obviously, he can buy the land, he can build it. But he's still striving for more and for more and for more. And yet he's 80 plus. And without a doubt, he's at that critical age, you could call it, where, he's a high risk factor, if you want to call it. We're all at risk, that the angel of death can come to us at any time. But the older you get, the risk obviously becomes greater, because the law of averages is that the older you get, that there is more chance of you that the angel of death comes. Yes, it comes to the younger people as well. But even at that age, still running after dunya. Even at the age of 70, opening up new businesses. Even at the age of 70, 75, new ventures. I'm not saying it's haram, but I'm saying to you to ponder over at that time in your life, where should your priorities be? Should we still be running after the dunya? Should we try and change ourselves? And be thankful for whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. And yes, I can understand that some people are thinking, if I can just get this business running, then I can pass it on to my children. Yes, they can benefit. Okay, I can understand that. And I can understand why people may need to continuously work all their lives. I understand that. And it happens. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that, when we get to that delicate age in our life, we can rest and we can take it easy and we can have, some sort of support that can enable us to get through that. But, we need to be able to, remember that, that time is coming. That time is coming. We need to remember Allah Azza wa Jalla and get closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq, radiallahu ta'ala, stated, the beloved Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala, said that he saw Sayyidina Musab bin Umar, radiallahu ta'ala, coming. He came in the state that he was wrapped in a ram skin around his back. So the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala, said, look at that person whose heart Allah Azza wa Jal is illuminated. Undoubtedly, I saw a time with his parents who would give him the best food and the best drink to consume. He has been in this state due to the love of Allah and the love of Rasul, which you are viewing now. He's in this state because of that love. That he had the best food, he had the best beverages, he had the best drinks, but because of his love of Allah, love of his Rasul, he removed all of these things and he had lived a simple life. It has been narrated that a Bedouin came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when will be the day of judgment? Allahu Akbar. Now, in many instances, viewers of the channel, the companions, they came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they asked a question. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied. Now, in this particular instance, rather than asking the question and replying with the answer, what did the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He replied with a question. The question was, when will the day of judgment be? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied with a question. What preparation have you made for it? What preparation have you made for it? And that is a question that we need to ask. Everybody's asking nowadays, oh, you see at the moment on social media, all of the posts, oh, the signs of the day of judgment are there. This is happening, that is happening. The minor signs have happened, the major signs have happening. All of these signs, and we're focusing on them signs. But the question should really be, are you ready? What have you prepared for the day of judgment? You know, we're saying the signs are here. It could be close. It could be any time now. This could happen. We're waiting for this to happen, waiting for that. This could happen. This could happen. What have you prepared for it? Let's listen to what the Bedouin said. The Bedouin said, and he humbly said, he said, I have not accumulated or offered too many nafil salah. I've not accumulated or offered many nafil fasts as well. However, I love Allah Azza wa Jal and I love his Rasul. Allahu Akbar. Now the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew that when people said this, they truly meant it. They meant it from the bottom of their hearts and they lived their lives accordingly. Nowadays we say, oh, I love Allah, I love the Rasul, I love this. But do we really? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized that this Bedouin, when he said it, he meant it. He said, I don't have much. I don't have much extra ibadat. I've not done many nafil prayers. I've not done many nafil fasts. But I love Allah and I love his Rasul. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, a person will be with whom he loves. Now that hadith has a deep meaning. Who do we love? Who do we truly love? You know, saying we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but who do we truly love? Who do we truly worship? Money, power, status, wealth, materialistic things. In some cases, people love the car more than they love their wives. They love their hobbies more than they love their families. So who do we truly love? Allahu Akbar. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we can develop that love inside our hearts for Allah and His Rasul. That is the love that we need to develop. It's been narrated that Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala said that I have not seen Muslims feeling so happy for anything since I embraced Islam. When he heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying this, that you will be with those people who you love, the companions became so happy. Why did they become so happy? Because they loved the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that you will be with those that you love. So the companions, they were so happy. And Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala said that I've never seen the Muslims so happy than I saw them on that day. Why? Because they loved Allah. They loved his Rasul. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling them that you will be with those that you love. And so they were so happy on that day. Allahu Akbar. I pray to Allah azza wa jalla that upon us hearing that, we can also become happy, truly happy. Because we truly love his Rasul. We truly love Allah azza wa jalla. But I think those of us that are listening to this hadith, are watching this program, when we heard that hadith that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you will be with those who you love, then happiness didn't enter in our hearts because we don't truly love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't truly love Allah. And that is why now when I mention this hadith, that happiness didn't enter our hearts. I mean, if it did, marhaba, excellent. I pray to Allah that we can all develop the love like the companions did. Like if there are some people here that happiness has entered in the hearts, I hope that we, myself, can develop the love that you have. But I think in the majority of the cases, it's probably not true. That we don't have that love in our hearts. We don't have the love for Rasul, love for Allah Azza wa Jalla in our hearts. And it's something that we need to develop. It has been narrated that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam passed by three people whose bodies were feeble and the color had changed. He said to them, how have you got into this state? They humbly replied, fear of the fire of hell. He said to them, it is a mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla to protect Allah-fearing people from the hellfire. He passed by three other people who were weaker than the previous ones, and the color were more changed than them. He asked them, "How have you got into this state?" They replied, "Yearning for paradise." He said, "It is a mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal to bestow the thing upon you which you deserve." He then passed by three other people who were weaker and had their colors changed more than the previous both groups. And the faces were like mirrors of nur, spiritually enlightened. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said to him, "How have you got into this state?" And they replied, "We love Allah Azza wa Jal." And Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam replied, "You have closeness to Allah. You have the one that have closeness to Allah. Not fear the hellfire, not yearning for paradise, but loving Allah. You know, love should be unconditional. You should love Allah not because you're scared of entering the paradise, of entering the hellfire. Not because you want to enter paradise, but your love for Allah Azza wa Jalla should be unconditional. Ya Allah, whatever you choose from me, I love you. Not because I yearn paradise, not because I'm scared of the hellfire, but I love Allah." And there are so many things that we need to thank and be shukr for Allah, that we need to thank Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us so much. As I mentioned earlier on, that we hear, I've got my hands, I can look at you, I can move my hands, I can look at you, I can hear you, I can see you, I can see the camera in front, I can't hear you, I can see the camera in front of me. Yeah? And so these are all blessings from Allah. You can hear me, you know, at the end of this program, I will finish my cup of tea, I'll get up and I'll walk out. These are blessings that I can drink this cup of tea. These are blessings that I have a cup of tea. These are blessings that I have some biscuit in front of me. These are blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla provided this cup of tea for me today. Yes, the technical team made it, but Allah Azza wa Jalla provided this for me. That Allah Azza wa Jalla has given me this ability to have a cup of tea. At the end of this program, I'll take up my mic and I'll walk out to the studio. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given me that strength to me. These are all blessings from Allah. And so, do we not have anything to thank Allah? And that when we thank Allah Azza wa Jalla, then it'll develop that love for Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah, you give me so much. I cannot thank you enough. Excuse me, Chan, please. We need to ponder and reflect and where our lives are going. You know, our love for this dunya that is temporary, this love, dunya that is going to finish. You know, many, many times I've mentioned it before, if you were to put your finger in the ocean, and the water that is on your finger, that is the dunya, and that is the akhirah. And if you do that, next time you go to the ocean, or you go to a river, put your finger in it and look at your finger, and you'll see that in a short space of time, the water on your finger will evaporate and disappear. And there'll be nothing there. Now look at the river. Now look at the ocean. Stand there as long as you want. The ocean will still be there. But we're running after this. That finishes in a few minutes, a short period of time. And this is what this dunya is. So we need to thank Allah. And like the Bedouin was asked, "What have you prepared?" When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "What have you prepared?" And he said, "I haven't got any extra fast, I haven't got any extra namaz, I haven't got anything. Nothing extraordinary, I have nothing extraordinary, I've just done the bare minimum. But," and what a huge but this is, "I love Allah and I love His Rasul. I love Allah and I love His Rasul." And that love was unconditional. That love was true love. And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that these people, they will be with those who they love. That's something that we need to think about. Who do I love? Who do I truly love? And that is something that we need to think about. You need to think about. We all need to think about. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, "The person who possesses three qualities, he will attain the sweetness of faith through them. Number one, he loves Allah and he loves his Rasul the most. Number two, if he loves someone, he loves them for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And number three, if he hates kufr as much as a person hates to be thrown into a blazing fire." These three qualities will develop the sweetness of faith inside us. It is also narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala has said that an error will come upon my ummah when they will love five things and they will forget five things. Allahu Akbar. Early on we were talking about, you know, the signs of the Day of Judgment and how the Bedouin asked, "When will the Day of Judgment be?" And the reply was, "What have you prepared for it?" But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave us signs. And I want you to reflect on these five sayings, five things, and ask yourself, are we not now part of this? He said that an error will soon come upon my ummah when they will lose five and they will forget five. And number one, they will love the world and they will forget the hereafter. If we're honest with ourselves, I think many of us have already fallen the first hurdle. that we love this dunya and we forget the hereafter. Number two, they will love wealth and they will forget accountability in the hereafter. They will love wealth and they will forget accountability. And the fact that we love money, we love striving for money, we forget the fact that we're going to be accountable for every blessing that we've got. Number three, they will love creatures and they will forget the Creator. They will love people, they will love individuals, they will love even animals, but they will not have the love for the Creator. They will forget the Creator. Number four, they will love sins and they will forget repentance. Have we not come upon a time now where when people commit sins, they commit adultery, they drink alcohol, they take drugs, they gamble, whatever it is. If you ask them, why do you do it? Ultimately, they enjoy doing it. They enjoy committing that sin. They have a pleasure in committing that sin. They get that pleasure, that buzz, whatever you want to call it, in committing that sin. And they forget that they need to repent. You know, when you commit a sin and you enjoy it, adultery, gambling, alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, whatever sin it is, and you say, oh, I get a bit of a buzz out of this. That buzz, that pleasure, that happiness disappears. After a short period of time, that buzz that you get, if you want to call it a buzz, disappears. But that sin will stay with you forever. In the same way, when you perform a good deed, the hardship of going to the masjid, it's cold, the heating's not working, it's raining, you're shivering, you're not feeling well, you're getting up for salah, you've left your whole warm bed and everything, that hardship will disappear, but that good deed will stay with you forever. So never commit a sin for pleasure, because that pleasure will disappear, but the sin will stay forever. Never leave a good deed for the sake of hardship, because that hardship will disappear and that good deed will stay with you forever. And here the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that a time will come that they will love sins and they will forget repentance. He then goes on to say, Allahu Akbar. They will love palaces and they will forget the graveyard. Allahu Akbar. And again, nowadays, we're all striving to have a bigger house. We're all striving to move on to a bigger house. Our aim in life is, I've got a small house now, I need to get to this, I need to get to this, I need to get, and this is my plan. And when I get to this, I'll be happy. And you know, we want property, we want land, we want houses, we want a bigger house, we've got a two-bedroom, we want a three, we've got a three, we want a four, we want a terrace, we want a semi-detached, we've got a semi-detached, we want a detached, we want a bit of land, we want this, we want a driveway, we want a garage, we want a conservatory, we want all of these things. And we have this love for our palaces, our houses, but we don't think about the graveyard. 8 foot long, 7 foot long grave. That's all it is. They're all the same. You know, go to the graveyard, look at the graves. And when you look at the graves, they may all look similar. Or on the above it, they may look different. Because certain people have wealthy people behind them that they put nice, you know, ornate things on top, marble or whatever it is. And some people may have simple. But in some cases, you don't have anything on top. You know, there's nothing. The graveyard authorities don't let you put anything onto any markers there. So above, they might all look the same. But inside the graves, they're all different. And that is because of the way that they live their lives. They love Allah Azza wa Jalla. They think and ponder about the hereafter. So in the short few minutes that I've got, I just want to give you some things that can hopefully develop that love inside you. Like I said to you earlier on, it's something that needs to be developed. It's something that needs to be nurtured. It's not something that I can give you one shot injection, one shot tablet, take it, and you've got that love. No, it's constant. One of them is the things that I mentioned right at the beginning. Reading the Quran, reading its translation and its interpretation. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and when they hear to what has come down to the Messenger of Allah, you see their eyes overflowing with tears because they have recognized the truth. It is stated in Maqashatul Qulub, three logical aspects demonstrate the truth of love. One, the lover regards the words of his beloved as the best of all. A person who truly loves someone loves his words. For him, the company of his beloved is the best of all. According to him, the pleasure of his beloved is the dearest of all. Sayyidina Sa'id Tustari, Rahmatullah, said that the sign of devotion to Allah Azza wa Jalla is that a person has devotion to the glorious Quran. The sign of divine love and the love of the beloved Rasul is to have devotion to the glorious Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that's the first thing. The Quran. Reading the Quran. The second thing, that bit of advice I'm going to give you today, as along with performing the fardaks, that's the first thing, we need to perform the fardaks. We need to read our namaz 5 times a day, we need to fast during the month of Ramadan, we need to pay the zakat if it's due upon us, and we need to perform the hajj if it's fard upon us. Along with doing this, which is fard, which is obligatory, there's no questions about, no ifs, no buts, no question marks, no excuses. We cannot make any excuses. Along with performing that, we need to perform the nafal acts as well. extra salah, extra fasting, extra sadqah in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are the worship, these extra ones we need to promote to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Third bit of advice is to engage in the zikr. The zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal is also a sign of divine love, and it's also a source of returning love. Allah Azza wa Jal has said in Surah Al-Azab, Ayat 41 and 42, O believers, remember Allah abundantly and glorify Him morning and evening. Allahu Akbar. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, he who loves anybody speaks about him. If you love somebody, you talk about him. If you love somebody, you want to know about him. If you love somebody, you listen to his words. So in the same way, listen to his words, I listen and read the Quran, speak about Allah. Speak about the greatness of Allah. Do zikr of Allah. Praise Allah Azza wa Jal. We should all also sacrifice our nafs for the pleasure of Allah. And after removing the keenness of the world from our heart, absolutely keep it submitted in the blessed court of Allah. Once we've removed this love for the dunya, then keep it in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Refrain from all of those acts. Stay from all of those acts that could attain the displeasure of Allah. You know, if you love someone, you don't want to do something that will upset them. You don't want to say something that will upset them. You're afraid of making them angry with you. You're afraid of saying anything, doing anything that will make them upset with you or angry with you. In the same way that if you want to attain the love of Allah, then you need to make sure you do not do anything that will upset, that will make, you know, go against what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants us to do. Refrain from those acts. Refrain from those sins that will achieve the displeasure of Allah. And again, there's so many, isn't there? But if you want to love Allah, then you need to stay away from them. And there's hundreds and thousands of things that we need to stay away from. And there's hundreds and thousands of things that we need to try and do to attain His love. But these are the things that we need to do. We also, if we want to attain that love, attain that closeness, attain that pleasure in doing ibadah, then we need to follow in the footsteps of the pious predecessors. Look at their lives, how they lived their lives, and how their closeness was to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and how they lived their lives. And if we look at their lives and their taqwa, their piety, the trust, the shukr, and all of the worship, and try to follow in their footsteps. Try to achieve what they achieve. Try to at least try and go in their footsteps. You know, we should never say, oh, I can't get there. Oh, they were the walis of Allah, they were the friends of Allah, I can never be like them. Okay, but at least try. Try and go on that ladder where they've been. Try and follow in their footsteps where they've been. And try to attain that level. Maybe if we try them, may Allah Azza wa Jalla will bless you. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla bless you that you will become a friend of Allah. Who knows? Who knows who are the friends of Allah? Who knows what we need to do? But at least try to follow in the footsteps of the friends of Allah. Try and follow in their footsteps by doing the things that they did. Showing the love that they did. Having the love for the akhirat rather than the love for the dunya. The worship, the ibadat, the way they lived their lives, the simplicity. All of these things that they did in their lives. The knowledge they acquired, the passing on of the knowledge they acquired, the way the worship was, everything that they did. Try and follow in their footsteps. And maybe we'll acquire the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla in our hearts. Viewers of Madani Channel, you've been watching Rise and Shine, and I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we can all develop the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla in our hearts. Until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.